All right, it's therapy time here on this Friday afternoon. It's time for you to release. Release whatever's pent up. Something or someone has made you mad. You just heard it in the promo. Are you mad? Well, that's probably people who are mad. I mean, you look around right now, I think there's people who are mad. So let's have at it. Let's see what's on your mind today. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The best, you just made the list, will get a $25 gift card to Subway. My son would love to have that. He loves Subway. So $25 gift card to Subway. That's what's on the line, but you have to get involved. Call us or text us, 615-737-1025. Chase, do you you have something or someone who's made you mad?
Oh, I do. I totally do. Marquise and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. So it's the fake people, the phony people, as you like to say, Darren, because I have seen a couple of instances on social media where people are taking pictures and they're involved in protests or they're involved in fixing a business and it's a photo op. And they show up and they take the picture for Instagram or social media. Yeah, here I'm out helping the community and I'm supporting people. And then they take the picture and then they get in their car and they leave.
Boo.
Those people
Boo.
Are on social media. And
Boo.
And we've seen that. Unfortunately, we've seen that with other things. I think that was happening in our city during the tornado. And it's like, come on, really? You're going to show up for a photo op and social media and look good to your followers
yeah.
and then leave?
We kind of got told that from some people. I don't know if it was true or not. We didn't see it firsthand, but we certainly got told that.
Those people belong forever on the list because that's just wrong. So those, the fake, phony, however you want to describe them, social media people.
You just made the list.
Thank you, Chris.
Was there something that, because you went all the way back to March, but is there something that recently you saw that really angered you?
There was a girl in Santa Monica, California, that basically got busted on it, that was posting on Instagram and different social media platforms of her helping, and it turns out she showed up with a drill and took the picture and then left. And so that was the example. I know there are other examples, but that was the one that I saw.
Well, at least she got called out for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Rode off in a Mercedes.
Yeah. Boy, that's disgusting. I mean, come on. Wow.
And there was a journalist too out in LA.
Hmm.
Was a journalist. There's a headline: journalist deletes social media accounts after video of her pretending to board up. And I guess this is the one. Santa Monica business goes viral. And I saw a UCLA college student. It was the same thing. Like, come on.
Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
Oh, okay. I thought you were on a roll. And the way you were ready to jump in there, I thought you were going to be on a roll. You had a whole list.
No, those people were definitely at the top of my list.
I've got to be honest. Yesterday, after the show, I saw some stuff out there that I don't know what to make of it. And I don't even know if this is putting someone or something on the list because I'm still blown away by what I read. I hope it's not true, but my gosh, there's a lot of stuff out there. And I really like this company's products. I own this company's products. Obviously, they're very prominent in this market. But my goodness, what I'm reading about Project 615 out there, whew, man, I hope it's not true. Man, I hope it is not true about their owner and that company. Because, like I said, I really like a lot of their products. I own a lot of their products. And, man, that was disturbing to see what I saw out there. Like I said, I don't know if I'm actually putting them on the list because I don't know. It's not like I've got firsthand knowledge. I'm just reading a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of layers of really, really bad stuff, especially about their owner. And I don't know what to make of it, but I was saddened to read that.
Yeah, you shared that with us, and I started reading through it too. And I'm with you. I hope it's not true. But a lot of stuff that does not paint them in a good light.
Oh no, and it's not just one thing. It's not just two things.
Right.
I don't think it's just three things. I don't think it was just four things. I mean, it just went on and on and on, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how could this many people, you know, have these many stories that they're all making up? And like I said, I don't know what's true. I was saddened to read that. I'm like, my goodness. At first, I'm like, come on, this can't be true. And then it just keeps going and going and going, and I'm like, wow. Wow. It seems like there's a lot of smoke. A whole lot of smoke, which you know what that means.
Yeah, usually when there's some smoke, there's some fire.
No, I don't think there was – what I read, there wasn't some smoke.
There were flames, visible
you
flames.
You could see it for miles. And I was like, man, that really stinks because I'm trying to do good. And, you know, like I said, they're here in our city. I mean, I just was like, man, I have their stuff. Gosh, please tell me this isn't true. But, man, oh, man, that was disturbing to read all that. So I don't even know if I really have one. I guess I wanted to put that out there. I don't know what to do because I don't know if it's true or not, and I don't want to put somebody on the list or a company on the list. But, man, that was tough. That was tough to read all that, and I don't know what's going to come of it. But, man, that was not good. Not good at all for a company that, I thought was doing really good things. But, man. So, anyway, 615-737-1025. Marquise, do you have anything?
Yeah, I'll throw something out there. Look, and this is going back to the Drew Brees thing. I understand people are frustrated. I understand what he said. Look, I said this, Drew Brees is a great human being. What he's done for Hurricane Katrina and that city of New Orleans, and what his wife and him are doing for the coronavirus, donating like $5 million. Like, he is a great human being. Anybody who is attacking him as a human being, they definitely need to be on a list. Because it's not that he's a bad human being for his take on the flag. He's just misinformed. And he just needed to talk to his teammates before speaking out about stuff like that first. So don't bash Drew Brees and him as a human and saying that he must not care about social issues and all this other stuff, because Drew Brees has a history of being a great person. Now, if this was Lance Armstrong, that's a different story. If it was Lance Armstrong, I'd be like, yeah, that guy's pretty bad, but it's Drew Brees, and he's always been a good character guy, always been smart and educated, so... And always helped out with his community, and especially in New Orleans. Like, so anybody who's bashing Drew Brees for being a horrible human.
You just made the list.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd say you probably need to do a little homework on Drew Brees if you think that.
Yeah, if you do. Come on now. It's just like that guy means a lot more for New Orleans than I think any other athlete that has ever stepped foot in that city.
And the fact that he's done what he's done since that interview on Wednesday, I mean, come on. Do you think that guy really doesn't care? You think that guy's a phony? I mean, really?
Yes. Come on.
Not at all. He's not. And this ties in to our whole conversation this week and my message that I've been saying. Stop, look, and listen. And guess what? He's doing that. He's going, okay, I need more education. I want to hear this. I want to learn more. I applaud him for that. We can all learn a little bit more.
Yep. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
Is that Nate?
Yeah, Nate. You're
Nate,
up.
That's you.
So I'm going into my senior year of high school, and I was working all summer trying to get a car so I could drive to school, and the school year had just started, and I had just gotten my car, and I'm hanging out with one of my best friends. I love him to death, but he completely totaled my car, and so he definitely made the list for about 3 months until I could get over that.
How did he do it? I mean, was it his fault?
Well, it was, yeah. I wasn't even in the car at the time. I was in his car, and I was parked right next to him, and he pulled out, and he didn't see my parked car, and he just hit it and kept going. But that was just a funny time.
And he totaled it?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did his insurance pay for it?
Yes, sir, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Golly.
Yeah. But it definitely took me a couple weeks to get over that, but yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't blame you. So, is everything good now?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's going better.
Okay. Well, good. Well, good luck with that. Nate, thanks for calling in. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Yeah, I've never had anything like that happen. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I haven't either. No. No, I haven't. So, I'm glad it's working out. Yeah, I haven't. I know. I haven't either.
And that's no good. All right, we will come back. More, by the way, Kevin Weeks at the bottom of the hour, Friday trivia in the final hour. We've got some prizes attached to that. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Don't forget Trent Dilfer tonight. A little game night with him at 6 p.m. Facebook Live. That's going to be a lot of fun with Lipscomb Academy head coach Trent Dilfer. That's coming up tonight at 6 p.m. More on the other side. ESPN 1025, the game. All right, jump in there. Who or what is on your list?
Speech?
It's very simple. Somebody's made you mad. Something's made you mad. Are you kidding? Get on social media. You're always mad. Somebody's always mad. You've always got something to gripe about. Come on. Let's hear from you. 615-737-1025. The best one will receive a $25 gift card to Subway. That's a good one. Now, Mike Norvell is doing a lot of backpedaling this week as well. I was seeing that new Florida State football coach. He kind of got caught in a lie. Not good.
He's definitely on the list.
Not good. Yeah. We could definitely put Mike Norvell on the list.
Just made the list.
That was bad. That was
Corona's
bad.
Corona's on the list.
Some coronavirus. Usual suspects.
Not the beer. I like the beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Go on and finish that off with saying virus. Yeah. Not just Corona. All right. Let's go to another Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Awesome.
Well, who's on my list this week is the guy who came running on me on I-24 between McMinnville and Murfreesboro on Sunday when I was coming home from Chattanooga. I'm, driving the speed limit in the right-hand lane, and there's a car in front of me, and there's a whole bunch of space between me and the guy who's running up on me, so he just, decides to fly up. And when he gets on my tail, he throws up his hands like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well, there are vehicles in front of me. I can't go any faster, and there are vehicles beside of me, and you can't get over. So what do you want me to do?"
People like that tick me off.
And then he passes me. And my fiance said, "Oh, he's from Kentucky. Those are Kentucky drivers." So it just seems like there's a consensus out there that no one can drive. Because you hear that about Tennessee drivers and apparently Kentucky drivers. Everyone knows that Atlanta's gridlock. So add Atlanta to the list, and I mean, just everyone who drives, I guess.
So you were on the interstate?
Yeah, I was on the interstate. It was
and you're in the
traffic.
Far right-hand lane?
There are two lanes. I was on the far right-hand lane.
Okay.
Just cruising along right behind someone, and there was probably about maybe a good 20 yards behind us, but I was going 70, so I was going the speed limit at least. And there's a bunch of people passing us because there's a big, long line in the fast lane. This guy runs up on me, throws his hands up. It's a Kentucky driver. So, huh. I mean, if he probably got pulled over somewhere in between there and Kentucky. So, I mean,
Don't be casting whatever. That net, Nate. We don't cast nets on this show. Let's just stick to this guy. Okay, let's just say this guy. Okay, I would say all Kentucky drivers. I don't know. I don't know if there's a history of all of them in the state driving like that, but this guy definitely belongs on the list.
To be clear, it was my fiance who said all Kentucky drivers.
So,
hey, let us know how throwing her under the bus goes.
I was going to say, boop, boop, boop.
She's
boop.
Not listening, so it's okay.
Thank you, Nate, as always.
Whatever
have a good
friends
weekend.
Could be. You You're never welcome. Know. Thanks, Nate.
They will have a long, happy life together as Nate rolls her right under the bus. Let me be clear, for the record, I didn't say that. She did.
I had that happen to me recently, too. And, I put a lot of drivers on the list, so I didn't want to go back to that well for this week. But I was on a curvy road, too, that I'm not used to driving on. And it's also curvy, so, you know, maybe doing 70 isn't the wisest idea. This dude in a truck was, I mean, in my back seat. And I'm like, dude, but come on. I'm not used to this road, man. I would... The old Nissan doesn't handle the corners like maybe your truck does. So, yeah, I just those people belong.
Was he giving you the hand gestures?
Well, I couldn't see him because his window was so dark.
Oh.
So.
Okay. 615-737-1025, $25 gift card to Subway on the line. So a couple of Nates to now Ron. Ron, who or what's on your list?
Good afternoon, man. The media, and I won't say all Kentucky media, I'll just say the majority of media are, let's get the truth out. And, if you want to be an opinion channel, just call yourself an opinion channel, not a news channel. Chase said, stop, listen, learn. Now's the time to talk about the truth and the facts, not your own agendas. You flip these channels and everybody's got a different opinion. I'd just like to have everybody just tell the truth. And that's part of the problem is there's so many people that saying so many things that I don't know which is left and which is right half of the time.
Well, what's bothering you the most? What have you heard that there's obviously something that has sparked you to feel this way? What did you hear that really upset you?
Let's start with the COVID-19. First of all, when in the beginning there were so many, wear a mask, don't wear a mask.
Yeah, okay, that's
anyway,
fair.
That's one. Then we roll into this this 6 feet, and it's okay. Do we stay 6 feet? Do we get 3 feet? Do we bump arms? Do we shake hands? Like I said, there's so many things going around that, Channel A says do this, Channel B says do this.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that everybody has an opinion, but call yourself an opinion channel. Don't call yourself a news channel. We should have specific channels just for news so people know the facts.
Hey, look, I really can't find much fault in what you're saying, Ron, because I think you're right. It has been there has been that, and it has been confusing. I try, quite honestly, to take it in small doses so I don't feel the same way as you, as strongly, because I try to keep it at small doses. I want to stay on top of things, but I don't want to get too deep in the weeds because I probably would feel exactly like you. Like, what are we supposed to believe? What's the truth? What's not the truth?
Yeah, I'm with you on that because and it's that way. It's not just media. It's social media. It's everybody. And it's like, oh, what do I do? What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. You know what? With that, I'm just going to go sit by the pool and turn my phone off. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I feel sometimes. Just need to do that. And I don't even have a pool. I just said that.
Pool would be nice, though.
Pool would be nice. Pool would be great. I'm going on a hike tomorrow, so you and Willie could be proud of me for that.
Oh, yeah?
I am.
It's clearly not your idea.
It's not, but it's a good idea.
No chance.
Man.
No chance that was your idea.
You just speaking of throwing under the bus.
Well, and you agreed right away. Yeah, and you know, because I know you. There's no way that was your idea.
It was not.
Yeah.
But it'll
so
work.
It sounds like probably a female's idea for you to agree to that.
Wow. You're just digging deep into this, aren't you, Dan?
Am I wrong?
No.
No, you're not.
There we go. Uh-huh.
Do we have another call? Oh, is it time for free business?
Oh, you want to wiggle out of this one? You ready to move on? Change the subject.
I mean, Kevin Weeks is calling soon, so we don't want him to wait. And I got free business Friday, so we got
to
do
that. Well, then I guess maybe we need to do that since you've got a. I'll let you off the hook. I'll release. We'll catch and release. Okay. I'll
Thank
release
you very
Chase.
Much.
All right, we will come back with Kevin Weeks from NHL Network. How did I know all that? I didn't. How did I know?
You know
that?
Me well.
I do know you well. All right, we will come back. Kevin Weeks, we're going to have a really good conversation with him. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest, Kevin Weeks, NHL Network analyst. And don't forget, NHL Network will continue to be providing the latest news and analysis leading up to and once the season resumes. And the last time we spoke with Kevin was actually in person. We were in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, and it was the start of a new calendar year, 2020, January 1, and everybody was having a good old time, and we had a great chat with Kevin, and everybody was happy. And gosh, the rest of 2020 since the Winter Classic haven't exactly been that great. Kevin, how you doing?
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Most importantly, everybody's healthy and safe with all of our family here in the U.S. and then back in Canada and down in Barbados in the Caribbean. Everybody's healthy, so that's number one. Trying times, though, for sure. What about you guys? How's your family? Everybody good?
Everybody's good here in Nashville. Obviously, things have loosened up a bit, but, you know, we've been doing the show from our homes for the last 3 months, and that's been fine. Everybody is safe and sound, and, you know, we're just all trying to get through this together, just like a lot of things that's going on in our country and in the world. And, you know, this is a time for everybody to unite. And honestly, Kevin, when all this kind of started this week and it happened in our city Saturday night, you were one of the first people that we thought about because you're so thoughtful and, you know, you always are just on top of everything. And we've always enjoyed our conversations that we were like, this is a time to have Kevin on and just talk to him and get his perspective. So with that being said, what has been your perspective? I've seen some of the things you've said this week, and we're all just trying to, you know, gain awareness, educate, and move in the right direction together.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Appreciate you guys always, as you know. I would say it's been really crazy, man. It feels like being in a washing machine in terms of what's happened. More importantly, you know, prayers and sympathies and condolences to those that have been, that have passed on and to their families. And, you know, some of which have been murdered, of course, George Floyd and others needlessly, I would say as well. So as horrific as those things are, which they are, they've become catalysts for conversation and for introspection and hopefully for change, you know. And what's so scary about this is, you know, for many of us in different respects, and, you know, I can speak for different friends of mine, different family of mine, our family, and myself as an individual, different colleagues that I played with. This is it's a crazy time, but a lot of these things are coming to light now that we've had to, in certain instances, endure, overcome. And quite frankly, in a lot of ways, it's a zero-sum game. In a lot of ways. And I was just saying this on an interview prior where, you know, you're fighting a fight you shouldn't have to fight. So let's just say hypothetically, you're a restaurateur, you're a chef. Hey man, it should be all about the food and the environment in your restaurant. You know, you guys have a vibrant scene down there where that's concerned. So it shouldn't be about how many vowels are in your last name or you're Latino American or you're not. You know, your parents are Italian, you're Italian American or you're not. You know, you're white American or you're not. I think it really comes down, and it should come down to the cuisine and the service and the atmosphere you provide, right? So I'm just using that. Or whether you went to Vanderbilt and now you're a shoulder surgeon, it should be about your ability to perform shoulder surgeries and help get positive outcomes for your patients. It shouldn't be about the fact that you're a black shoulder surgeon in the event that, which happens all too often, people can kind of cloud their judgment and how they evaluate you as a professional based on you being a quote-unquote black shoulder surgeon, for lack of a better example. So, you know, I've seen that, and I got to be real. Like, I'm very fortunate to have great parents, two great parents, and a great sister, and, you know, my girlfriend's family is great too. I'm very lucky, but my family specifically, you know, my parents emigrated from Barbados in the Caribbean, and they went to Canada. So my ancestral home's Barbados in the Caribbean. You know, I was born and raised in Canada, and home for me is the United States. And in a lot of ways, there are three great countries, but specifically here in North America, like a lot of listeners, and everybody's had their own journey in how they got here or how they're here today. But if you think about a lot of people, and it doesn't matter, like you could have come from England, Ireland, Scotland, you know, you could have come in a, literally like in a container. You could have come in the back of a vehicle. You could have come in the back of an 18-wheeler, a semi, whatever it is, boats, to get to North America and to live the North American dream. And specifically, you know, I have a life in both countries, but the United States is home now again for almost, call it 20 years. And think about the journey that different people have taken, and think about the journey of different people that have lived here or grown up here, were born here. It's a very different journey for each and every one of us individually, but especially for those of us of color, and not limited to, but for those of us of color. And, you know, I know exactly who I am, and I know exactly what my background is, what my culture is. But as I said, I'm very fortunate to have that represent three great countries in their own way. But from my skin tone standpoint, growing up in Toronto wasn't really a thing, because Toronto is hyper multicultural, right? So all my youth hockey players and friends of mine, you know, there's six of us from my team, my two teams that ended up playing in the NHL, myself included. But there's so many others that were great people, great parents, great, you know, grandparents. So I've been in the basement of my Italian friends, and when they're, you know, their nonas were making sauce. You know, I've been with my Greek teammates' houses when their, you know, parents were making baklava or souvlaki or whatever. So it was very hypercultural, forget multicultural, if you will. But then when I got to junior to play in the OHL, it was very different. I went to a small town of 21,000 people, and for the most part, the people treated me fairly. But that was my kind of welcome to racism moment, where, you know, a girl in the cafeteria got up in my face and called me the N-word like 10, whatever, how many times? Like, literally in my face.
Wow.
So that's kind of, when they say it hits you in the face, it literally hit me in the face, or spit was literally hitting me in the face, and that's kind of how that started. So from there, that's just how things kind of, that was the start of my journey with that. But I would also say, me, since I was six, I was going to play in the NHL. That's what it was going to be. And I aspired to do that. And fortunately, both my mom and dad worked 35 years at their respective companies, Blue Cross, as you'd know, and then Nestle's Chocolates at the factory my dad worked. They both worked time and a half a lot of times to make extra bread. You know, for my sister and I, especially as immigrants, and also I was playing elite-level minor hockey right off the hop. And you know how expensive hockey is, so as great as our sport is. So it was interesting because, again, as a kid I didn't see it, but as I got to junior in the OHL, I saw it. In the minors, I never saw it in the American League or the IHL. And then once I got to the NHL, in certain instances, I saw it, sometimes from, you know, general managers, sometimes from coaches. Sometimes from different media people, writers, different radio personalities, or different TV personalities. Sometimes it was in contract disparity. Sometimes it was in compensation disparity. So it's been very interesting that way, to see that and to experience that, and all of that kind of culminating for me and my experience as a longtime player, and then, you know, as a broadcaster on the NHL Network. And then to see what that's gotten to and where it's come to, given what's happened to, you know, the murder of George Floyd and others, and just, you know, that the outrage and so much patience and so much endurance. And why do you have to have more endurance because you're a certain color? Like, you should have endurance if you're running steeplechase in the Olympics, you know, or if you are, you know, running the New York Marathon here or whatever it is. And, you know, there's different types. There's surgeons that need a lot of endurance, that are on call around the clock, and they're pediatric surgeons. You know, that I understand, but just by way of your color, or you being from the South, or, you know, you being of a different religion, I don't understand why, or in our case, different color. It's a zero-sum game. That is a game you can never win where that's concerned.
Been wearing headphones for 20 plus years. My hearing isn't great. It gets worse every year. I heard you say an incident in the cafeteria. I heard you say a general manager, coaches, media. I didn't hear you say, I don't think, teammates. Did you ever experience it either in a locker room or out on the ice against the opponent?
I sure did. Yeah. And what was weird about it is, so from a teammate standpoint, let me be clear, the majority of the teammates I play with are awesome. And, you know, the good majority of guys, whatever area you play in the NHL, for the most part, they're really good guys. They're good people. You know, typically salt of the earth guys that are good community guys, decent, trustworthy. And listen, we're all young. Everybody makes mistakes at different points in time. But for the most part, they're all great. They're all great dudes and great people. But I would say that, yeah, there were definitely instances where there were some guys that weren't as good. And some guys, you know, I remember when I was in junior, for example, one of my old junior teammates just posted this the other day on Facebook, and he goes, "Weezy, I'm so sorry, man. I remember we were playing a team, and we had you in the net. It was my rookie year and junior, his rookie year. He's like, we had you in the net, so-and-so on the blue line, so-and-so up front. And then then there were two other brothers on the other team, and the opposing center iceman at the face-off, opening face-off, said to the ref, 'Why are you dropping the puck? We should be doing a jump ball.'" It was like serious, like deadpan.
Wow.
So, and I remember hearing that as clear as day before that puck was dropped. So, yeah, I mean, in certain instances, some players you play against and would some coaches that you play against, some coaches that you play for, and some players that you played with. Like, I remember my first year, I mentioned the American League, and I'll actually kind of drill down a little deeper. For the most part, everybody was cool. And I played in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I love NC. I love my time in, you know, in the Southeast. Everybody's been cool for the most part for me, both in the minors and in the NHL. But I do recall in what has it been my rookie year when the OJ trial happened, and we're in the locker room with me, and I had a fellow black teammate, Akil Adams, at the time. And when that verdict went down, like, honestly, I thought we were going to get in a brawl. We were going to have to fight 20 of our teammates in there. The guys were that pissed off. They were incensed when that verdict came down, when Judge Ito issued the verdict. And I'd never met O.J. Simpson. I never met Al Cowlings. I don't, you know, the late Nicole Brown Simpson. God bless her soul. I never met her. I never met any of those people. Like, you know, half their age, maybe a little more than half their age, maybe. But people acted as though, some of our teammates reacted as though it was us, or we were somehow complicit, or, I don't know, involved in it or something. It was weird. So that was an eye-opening experience where that's concerned. But I would say this too, guys. You know, what's interesting is I know a lot of people back in Canada, and I was talking about this, a lot of people back in Canada are like, "Wow, do you see what's happening in the United States? Wow, do you see what's going on in the U.S.? It's so much better here." And it's not, actually. Like, I've been pulled over more times back home in Canada than I've ever been pulled over in all my years living in the United States. Just for the sake of being pulled over. Like, "Is this your vehicle?" "Yes, sir." "License registration, please?" "Yes, sir." "Here you go." "Insurance?" "Yes, sir." "Here you go." "Oh, man, you're weak. You're the goalie." "Oh, yeah, man. Why don't you come and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs?" "Oh, okay." And then ticket or no ticket. And typically for no reason.
Yeah.
"Oh, your tints are too dark." "Well, my car's registered in Florida. I play for Tampa." "Yeah, but you're here driving in Toronto." "Yeah, but my vehicle's registered in Florida. It's a Florida vehicle." "You know, with the heat, Florida, that's why, you know, that the legal limit is higher for your tint to offset the heat in Florida." "Yeah, but you're here driving." "Sorry, man. Here's a ticket." You know, so those are the types of things. And I don't know how many, that must have happened 20 times. I wasn't north of 20. And I wasn't issued a ticket every time. But that's me coming from dinner. That's me literally going to the arena more often than not, with my goalie pads and goalie sticks in the car. So, I don't know, man. Like, my parents always used to tell my sister and I, and they always do, old world values, you know, "Yes, sir." "No, man." "Yes, please." You know, manners and decency and, you know, all that stuff. Treat people respectfully no matter where they come from and all that. Keep your nose clean and nobody can trouble you. Well, that's what I thought. And, you know, the older we get, seemingly the smarter our parents get. But in saying that, sometimes I tell my parents, I'm like, "Mom, you're wrong." Specifically, to be like, "What do you mean?" I'll be like, "Okay, well, yesterday this happened," or, you know, my parents, I won't dignify the city, but earlier or late 2019, my parents were harassed at an airport by law enforcement. They're seniors. My mom just had her 70th birthday, May 15th. You know, they're harassed. You know, we've been on the wrong side of the legal system. We've been exploited. We've been extorted. I've been extorted. Like, it's not without a care, by the way. So I just think that those are the things where, even now, as I said, I'm 45, and yesterday flying, you know, from our place in Miami, flying back home to Jersey. And I was on the phone with them, and my mom was like, hey, make sure you both have your masks. My girlfriend and I said, make sure you both have your masks. Make sure, you know, your passports, blah, 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 blah. You already know you're black. You don't want to get in trouble. You don't want anybody, an officer, blah, blah, blah. Like, why would you have to say that?
So your mom said that to you this week?
Literally yesterday.
Wow.
We flew out on a United flight at 2:30 back to Newark.
Wow.
She literally said that yesterday. So, and I'm a 45-year-old man, you know, like I'm an adult. So, you know, parents never stop being parents, and we appreciate and we love that about them. But that's just the reality, unfortunate reality, or a part of it anyways. And those are the things, and that's a level of injustice and degradation, like, as a human being. So, quite frankly, guys, when I played, I felt as though I was walking over Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And these things, and some of these things would happen, you know, not every day, not whatever, but whenever these things happened, and they were hurtful. And luckily, I had a great support system along the way. And different people in my family, you know, my agent, Paul Theofanis, has always been awesome and super supportive. And some different people, you know, Commissioner Bettman's always been great. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly have always been great and big supporters, as I am of them, and all that they've done for the game too. But I got to tell you, man, like, in a lot of ways, I just bit my tongue as a player, because what's hard with this is, and this is kind of what I was alluding to with, while being respectful, it's like sometimes people are the perpetrator and then they want to dictate how much you can or can hurt or not, or be hurt. And then they want to dictate what you do and don't say. And then if you do say something and if you do defend yourself, then they say, oh, see, it's a bad apple. She's angry. He's angry. It's a bad person. No, like, don't mistreat somebody. Don't do something like that. Like, at some point you have to be able to defend yourself, and that's the problem. So I think, you know, we've had so many different instances where people try to do things like, you know, I've been fortunate to be a part of this great league and our great sport and to be an ambassador. I'm an NHL ambassador in addition to being on the NHL network, you know, as a face of the network. And that comes with a lot of responsibility. But even during my playing days, you know, for the teams I played for, but I was still doing stuff for the league on my playing days. So whether it's speaking on Capitol Hill, you know, with Congress about hockey, whether it's speaking with USA Hockey itself, I was just out there in Colorado Springs when we had the outdoor game, the Stadium Series game with the Avalanche and of course, the LA Kings. You know, whether it's going to Walter Reed Medical Center in D.C., the White House, you name it. Like, that's a huge honor and a responsibility, and it's earned. But my point to you in that is, you know, when you're speaking on behalf of a sport and all the teams and the players and the stakeholders and, of course, our amazing great fans that we have, not there only in Nashville but around the world, that's a huge responsibility. But you also have to be, you know, you got to feel as though, and for me, if anybody crosses that line in the wrong way, especially if it's malicious and it's intentional, and I made this vow, having taken that as a player, personally or professionally, I'll never take it again. Ever. Ever. Because I took that for, you know, the better part of, 14 years that I played professionally, 11 parts of 12 in the NHL. I'll never take that again. Because I think that that's just, it just degrades you as a human being. So I don't think that any kid, you know, whether you're in Greater Nashville, in Chattanooga, I don't know, it doesn't matter where you are, where you're from, no kid, no parent should have to go through that. No, I don't want to have anybody else endure some of the things we've had to endure to quote unquote play or to quote unquote make the NHL or be in the NHL or whatever, or just to be in society, because it's not an NHL problem, it's a societal problem. But, you know, sports also, like art, mimic society, right? So we've got an incredible league with some of the best athletes in the world, and I'm so proud to be a part of our league. But there's some things that our league can continue to grow with, and grassroots hockey in, as well, grassroots sport, need to get a whole heck of a lot better than what they've been to this point. Because think of the grandma that, you know, that works downtown in Nashville, or think of somebody that worked in, I don't know, Tammy Wynette's sound studio that's a sound tech, and now his grandson's playing hockey there. You know, you want them to feel safe in that environment. You want them to feel safe in that environment. Just like somebody that may have emigrated from Mexico that has an outstanding restaurant, or Hattie, somebody that owns Hattie B's, whose daughter is now starting to play youth hockey in Greater Nashville. You want, like, sports are connective tissue, and you want anybody and everybody to feel safe in any sporting venue from grassroots to the Bridgestone Arena. I don't care if you're at the Opry. A lot of people don't know. I've told you guys this before. A lot of people don't know, like, and I'm going to, people in the Caribbean love country music. My dad has albums from not just Charlie Pride, okay? Chet Atkins, Brenda Lee, Tammy Wynette, Jim Reeves. Like, I can go up and down. Merle Haggard, Okie from Muskoka. Like, honest to God. So,
this is true because we've had these conversations with you in the past.
We have. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, right? Like,
yep.
I'm telling you. Like, I can go, Marty Robbins, like, I can tell you. So, and my dad was so excited as a Caribbean man that lives in Canada, was so excited for All-Star Weekend first in Nashville and then Stanley Cup Final in Nashville. And we're walking around and he's not walking, he's floating because he's seeing all these things. And he's, you know, things that he's heard about for years being in the easternmost island in the Caribbean and hearing about Nashville. And by the way, he worked at, when he worked on Applewood's plantation in Barbados, in the back of the plantation had West Indies record label. So he would go and see the records being printed, the vinyl.
Wow.
Being pressed. So a hit that you guys might have heard in Nashville, unbeknownst to you, people are line dancing at Oyston's Outdoor Fish Fry in Barbados to that same song. And people are literally line dancing. I've experienced it going when I go visit family and seen it myself. So that's the power of, in this instance, I'm mentioning music, but it's also the power of sport, right? And it's the, part, yeah. the power of art and, you know, food and culture and all those different things. So, you know, you can't be, if you're a Nashvillian, say, you know, you can't cheer for the great Eddie George when he was playing there. And then, you know, you're yelling an epithet at an opposing NHL player when he's playing against the Preds. This doesn't make any sense. And I'm not saying that that's the case, but I know I've seen that in different cities. Where they, I mentioned this earlier, like Philadelphia, people are cheering for Iverson. Oh my God, AI is the best. We love AI, the answer. We love him. Man, you remember him at Georgetown? Now he's playing here for the Sixers. We love him. Then all of a sudden, there's an opposing black hockey player that comes here and you're yelling an epithet at him. Like it's just, that doesn't jive to me.
Very, very well said. Kevin Weeks of the NHL Network is here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And this whole conversation is eye-opening. You know, just to listen to some of the things that you've said. But I'm curious, during your time as a player and even now as an analyst, I mean, you work with players from different cultures, from different countries, from not on this continent, from across seas. How do they view some of these things that are going on? What were some conversations that you've had with some of those players?
It's very different for them because depending on what part of Europe you come from, and, you know, Europe is beautiful in its own way, you know, it's the demographics differ, right? So obviously in Russia, you don't have as big of a Russian, of a black population than you would, let's say, in Sweden, like Johnny Oduya, exact who won those Stanley Cups in Chicago. I played with Johnny in Jersey. His dad's black African, his mom's white Swedish, and his late brother Freddie, ironically enough, drafted by San Jose, and we played in the OHL together in Ottawa. So yeah, he just being an example, but not limited to, whether it's Roman Josi from Switzerland. I've had different conversations with different guys, not Josi, but different players from across Europe, and their takes are very different because their experience is very different. But for the most part, it's been empathetic and but shocking and kind of eye-opening at the same time. You know, but when you see what's also very different for them is football, obviously, so huge being soccer over there. So at least they're accustomed to, even though the racism is so crazy, which is weird, in soccer it's the most global sport. And I know you guys have been granted an MLS franchise, so congrats on that. But I think at least they're accustomed to seeing it on their screen a little bit by way of whatever, Thierry Henry and a lot of great players that have played. But in saying that, it's typically one sport. They don't have it hitting as much in so many different areas. So, you know, they don't have a Denzel Washington there, per se. You don't have Beyonce there per se. And, you know, different star figures, Jeter, different star figures across the board, like celebrity chefs, so many different areas as we would here in the United States, more than any place in the world where that's concerned. So it's been kind of a learning, but also, as I said, a lot of them have been very empathetic that I've spoken with. And I've got to tell you guys, man, as hard as some of this is to share and for me and people like us to have to endure, what's also been refreshing is the open-mindedness of people and the players that I've spoken to, from Sidney Crosby to Jonathan Toews, Corey Schneider, just heard from now, Rod Brind'Amour, my old teammate, who I think is the future Hall of Famer, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes down in Raleigh, who I played with. You know, the great Ron Francis, who is Hall of Famer already, the GM of the expansion Seattle. I mean, I can't tell you, and I'm not – Tyler Seguin. A lot of you don't know. Tyler Seguin just marched in the protest yesterday in Dallas. And him and I were texting after being on a Zoom call together. So I've heard from so many different people around the game. And I also said, you know, I mentioned Commissioner Bettman and Bill Daly, but there's also different players, way more than I mentioned. Broadcasters, you know, Tripp Tracy and Johnny Forza, my two buddies down with the Canes. And, you know, you guys reaching out to do this piece. Some other different outlets and broadcasters that have been kind enough to create a safe space to have a discussion and be open-minded and wanting to listen and participate, which is amazing. And then so many NHL fans, like people that watch us on the NHL Network, people that don't, people across the world that have just sent so many different messages of support and or encouragement, people I've never met before. So if there's a silver lining through all of this, those are parts of that silver lining. And, you know, I also want to say there's a lot of people that have been doing great things over the years too, guys, like Glenn Sather, when he was with the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s, the architect of the Oilers. You know, he's been with the Rangers the last 20 years. But the Oilers have always had very multicultural teams, starting with him during that era in the Gretzky era. You know, Grant Fuhr in the net and different players from Europe and the United States and different players, different backgrounds. To this day, the Oilers are still very multicultural. But Glenn Sather, Jim Rutherford in Pittsburgh, who I had in Carolina, who's also a Hall of Fame GM. Lou Lamoriello is a Hall of Fame GM I had in Jersey. As you know, he's the architect of the Islanders right now, the GM. Paul Maurice, who's coaching in Winnipeg, has always been a big supporter. I had him in Carolina, too. So there have been a lot of different people along the way, too, that have been wind beneath your wings, so to speak, and advocates and treat you on a humanistic level and respect my parents when they come to games or, you know, my girlfriend or whoever it is at the time, my sister, my buddies, whoever is there at the time of the game. But that goes a long way, and I'll always be grateful for those people because they see me as a person and as a hockey player or a broadcast analyst. But at least they give me the human dignity in doing that, and they do that in a way that where you can feel whole, because it's not always the case.
Kevin, I can tell you throughout the course of this interview, people on social media have not turned away who are listening, because there's been a lot of responses of this is the best interview they've heard in a long time. And, of course, that has nothing to do with us. It's all about you. So let me just say this. This is why we wanted to have you on. We've talked to you for years.
Oh,
you know
you.
That. And it just didn't feel right today to talk about return to play. I think people needed to hear your stories and your comments more than, you know, what the qualifying rounds are going to look like. You know, talking about that today just didn't seem like the right thing to do. And also, let me just say this. Thanks for getting out there on also, you know, any platform, whether it's a local platform like ours. You know, you were on you've been on many national platforms. I think you were on Golic and Wingo this morning or this week. And so, just thanks for getting out there and telling these stories and bringing awareness to what we're going through.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, I don't want to monopolize too much of your time. I know you guys are busy today. Appreciate you guys. You guys are great. I love hanging with you guys. And you know that I have a lot of respect for the folks down in there in Nashville. And hey, listen, man, you know, I'm going to take a little bit more time in saying this, that you want to make sure that, as I said, that every venue is safe and inclusive for people of every denomination, you know, obviously us as black people, and in addition to anybody, you know, you could be catching catfish down in the South, you know, making barbecue, having hot chicken. It doesn't matter who you are, but, you know, everybody's somebody's grandma or, you know, auntie or uncle or parent or sibling. And wherever you are, man, you want everybody to feel welcome and to feel valued as people, have their dignity about them in any sporting venue, for any sport, for, as I said, from grassroots, T-ball, all the way up to the Preds, you know. And you guys know this too, and I really want to say this, is with you guys being a Southern-based team, and as I said before, I've heard this from some people back in Canada, but why are you having a team there? Well, why are you putting a team there? Well, how come you're having a team there? I got news for you. All the so-called Sun Belt teams, thanks to the great Wayne Gretzky, number 99, and making hockey popular in a lot of the southern climes, especially when he went to L.A. with the Kings, every single southern team, with the exception of the Arizona Coyotes, has been to a Stanley Cup final. Everyone, including your Preds.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some have been twice. Some have been three times. And I got to tell you something, man, and I say this openly. Being a kid who's born in Toronto, they haven't been to the Stanley Cup since 1967.
Yep.
So as much as people want to hate based on geography, based on this, based on the Southern, based on that, based on you're black, based on whatever, you know what, man? To me, the proof's in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. And I know what type of a person David Poile is. I know the class that David exudes and the folks in the organization there. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with David over the years. He's been great to me. He's done an amazing job there. And as I said, so, you know, you guys would know from that standpoint, when you guys got to the Stanley Cup final and you shocked the world, people came to Nashville like, what? This place is crazy. We didn't know Nashville. Like, so many people in our crew, they're like, oh my, the Stanley Cup's got to be in Nashville every year. This place is wild. We love this place. Oh my God. And then Vegas the next year, the exact same thing. It was off the chain, and people are like, oh, what? So I'm just saying, like, when people are open-minded, you know, you can be open-minded to greatness. And as I said, man, I know this is a little Nashvillian for you guys, but whether you're the great Reba McEntire or the great Charlie Pride or my man Alan Jackson, I wanted to sing Living on Love with him on the stage. I wanted to, but our boy Jameson Coyle, who's our host and our great host, our number one host, got that interview. But I got to tell you what, man, we've always had special times down there. So now, more than any time, there and everywhere, continue to bond together, know exactly who you are, celebrate who you are, but be gentle with each other. Black Lives Matter. Be kind, be loving, and be empathetic to everybody, man. We're all one human race at the end of the day.
Now hearing this about your parents, especially mom, we got to get you here and get you – when we get concerts back, we got to get you to the Opry, get you guys to some country concerts, maybe CMA Fest. We
got him to Alan Jackson.
They would go wild. They would go absolutely wild, man. I'm telling you. I actually sang Living on Love on stage there. We went to a karaoke spot after going to Martin's Barbecue, which I almost passed out because it was so good. Jameson Coyle. And one of our producers, Todd Ware, well, we went to Martin's on Broadway, and they had to roll us out of there. But anyway, we were able to find some lemonade and some other refreshments at a bar around the street there. And, we had a lot of fun, man. So we've always enjoyed our time there, and I know how great the folks are. But, you know, every once in a while, there's knucklehead everywhere. But just try to be as kind and empathetic and compassionate as you can be, and, you know, realize, as I said, we're all on the same human team anyway. So we have a lot of great people. And a lot of people are also learning. This is easy, like onboarding for a lot of people too, and a lot of eye opening, and a lot of people that have done soul searching and want to be a part of the solution. So you never want to turn them away either, because as I said, everybody coming together collectively is what's most important.
You know, you've hit a chord with the audience when the audience is asking for us to tweet out or put out the interview that's not even over yet, so you can hear it again. So that's pretty impressive, Kevin.
Thank them.
And continue to be
so much,
safe. We can't thank you enough for doing this. It's been a while. It's been since the Winter Classic. Let's not wait so long next time, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, fellas. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to all you great fans. We appreciate you. Thank you.
That is Kevin Weeks, NHL Network analyst. Remember, NHL Network will continue providing the latest news and analysis leading up to the season resuming, return to play. And that just tells you how powerful that interview was. We didn't even get into that, and it just didn't feel like the time to get into it. I would like to just end the show on that. I don't even know why we're coming back. I would just, that's to me a walk-off.
I know.
But I guess we gotta come back for the final hour. We will do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.